April 10 over to the national team. And really, I'm interested to know your readiness for FIFA World Cup, but also measures that are put in place with regards to issues related to human trafficking. We want to know whether there is already a plan in place so that we are able to deal with that. I will, at this moment, I think, probably allow members, but we know us, you know us now. You know us now. I will therefore allow the National Commission to lead the discussions, and then members will ask questions after the presentation. Over to you, National Commission.
Thanks, Madam Chair. Pleasure to have the opportunity to share the plan with you. The displeasure we have is that we share it with you last when you have shared it with the world. The events pushed us to share the plan with the world even before. The preparations of the World Cup have been on two main issues: the actual operations to protect the World Cup, but also the perception or perceptional issues of the world about South Africa, which has been more tougher than the actual plan on the ground, Madam Chair. On the 29th, some of us, we went to Port Elizabeth to launch our TRT. But 27th, Jan, to launch our TRT. When we were there, we received an SOS kind of the call. The SOS kind of the call was from FIFA. And we were a bit annoyed that they were calling us like a schoolboy called by the principal. But understanding the seriousness of the World Cup, we complied. And we met the Secretary General in the airport, or Arotambo airport. The Secretary General was almost on tears because the pressure he was under, together with the President of the World Cup and people pushing to withdraw it from South Africa. This is 27th of January this year. There was a big push. That was after Cabinda. The incident that happened in Cabinda, where there was a shooting on the team of Togo. Some of us, we were in Cabinda. Actually, we were in Angola on the preparation a week before the matches started, including the first match. In Cabinda, we were a day before the shooting. We shared the security situation with Angolans, and it helped us a lot to further plan as South Africans. One thing that we have learned very serious is to listen and follow all portion of information that is given to you, no matter how minimal it is, until you are satisfied that you have pursued that information and you have acted on it. It doesn't matter how small it is. So that's one big lesson we learned in Angola, because there was information about things that happened in Angola, maybe not thoroughly pursued, but secondly, is a thorough cooperation with parties involved in 2010, so that if we receive any kind of information, we need to cooperate with that body that gives us that kind of information, and together we pursue it. In that meeting in 27 in the OR, we agreed with FIFA to say will have to, together with FIFA, to begin to address the world about the security readiness of South Africa. Hence the meeting in Zurich. The decision was taken that we'll have the meeting in Zurich where all participating countries will attend their chief of police in the country, but in addition, the security, the chief security of individual teams. But other countries, they have policy in particular for football. There are countries that policing is just for football. Those countries will have people that Andrew will call them disruptive people. In those countries, we'll call them soccer hooligans. So they have that kind of policy. Beginning of March was the fourth and fifth, indeed, were in Zurich. The team is here, Madam Chair, that have been crisscrossing Europe, dealing with the perceptions. There's a team, member of the parliamentary science already, raise your hand. There's a member of the team, myself, Shabalala, Ngwenya, Malife, Kruger, and Kete, and two ladies behind. That's the team that has been crisscrossing Europe, working on this matter. Madam Chair, we had all countries, interest was huge. We had all countries in Zurich, minus only three. It was Chile, and the reasons were clear for Chile at that time. And it was Ghana and North Korea. But everybody else was there. After that, we had to face 50 media houses, not journalists, media houses, to explain how safe we are in South Africa. Interestingly, Madam Chair, I remember Secretary General, after 2 days' presentation, saying, please, media, ask the questions that you have been asking and you are not asking now about security in South Africa. Because they did not ask security questions, Madam Chair, after presentation. The very same media. They were urged to ask the question. They were asking about hotels, they were asking about trains, they were asking about game reserves and all that, not about security situation. We were very satisfied, Madam Chair, that we have done that plan properly, and that's why we argue that we are ready. From there, we went to Berlin. There have been two very critical countries. That has been German and UK. German, but let's have to say, Madam Chair, governments and policing agencies have not been party of these lobbies in these countries. Each time they distance themselves, both the government and the police. Like when German lobby group or whoever they were, they said their players will have to wear bulletproof vest on and off the field when they come to South Africa. The police came on and said we are distancing ourselves from that. In Britain, they said they had to wear the step vest. They would be selling them in O.R. Tambo. Whoever comes in South Africa will have to buy that and make sure that you wear the step vest. And they told their people to carry a lot of condoms as they come to South Africa. Well, that's not our issue, the condoms, whether they care or not, really don't come close to that. Ours are step vest. During your campaign of gun collection here, there was a campaign of knife collection in UK, Madam Chair, because they are stepping one another like hell. So when they talk about the knife vest, they understand exactly what they're meeting. From Berlin, Madam Chair, we went to Lyon. In Lyon, we met all representatives of the Interpol, all countries. They were having their conference, especially the operatives there, where we made the presentation, and the Interpol said, bravo. Remember, that was the third meeting with the Interpol, after we met secretary and the executive two times before that meeting, which has led in a few weeks back for the invitation of the Secretary General of Interpol, was here in the country about 3 or 4 weeks back. So from there, we went to London. In London, we met the Deputy Commissioner of the Police of London, Metro Police. You will remember that police are in counties in Europe, most of the countries in Europe, that is UK and Germany. They are not a unified structure like in South Africa, which they have been very envious of it, because they say it's very difficult to plan with 18 chiefs of police. They don't have the same approach. Here, we have one approach with the leadership, national and all that. So it has helped us a lot, Madam Chair. So we finished with Europe. In Germany, we were invited by the Minister of Tourism, because there was this tourist kind of fanfare. But it was important that most questions that were answered were security questions. That's why we were invited as South African police to be part of that. We had a lot of interaction with the media, but again, interestingly, at night, with the open night of media, where there were 123 journalists, and that night again, there was no question asked about security, which clearly people were getting satisfied. And the feedback, especially from our ambassador in Germany and the High Commissioner in London, is that the situation has really changed, Madam Chair, until the unfortunate death of Mr. Terry Blatcher. Again, we had to take a step back after the work that we have done. But, Madam Chair, we are in constant contact with most of European countries. We're in constant contact with U.S. A few weeks we have met the second in charge of the FBI in U.S. We have met the chief of intelligence in both Britain and Germany. We are in position with the head of intelligence here to counter and check any rumor in few hours if that is genuine. There are structures, Madam Chair, with FBI, with German intelligence, with UK intelligence, and many other intelligence. We can check, because people will throw rumor, and that rumor, there are structures to check on it. Besides that, it will be presented, we have created ICC, that is Intelligence Coordinating Committee, where all five bodies of intelligence, they work together, but also working with intelligence of the world. And we get briefed on a very regular way to understand what are the threats, both national and international. International will be more concentrated on terrorism, Madam Chair. The statement that was made, argued that was issued from Tunisia about allegation about Al-Qaeda, of those want to see the dead bodies in the stadium upside down where Americans and UK will be playing. So we have checked those things together with those agencies from those countries working on it, and we're satisfied that we've done all we can or we could, and we're satisfied that there is no threat, Madam Chair, up to this point with that is facing 2010. Let's actually say before there is a proper presentation from Andrew, that we have been under pressure of the perception of the crime situation in South Africa has helped us to extra prepare, to do things that under normal circumstances we would not have gone to do them. Security preparations are unlike infrastructure preparations, because you can see there is a stadium. This one, you will only see the result proper after the 15th of July, when we say people of South Africa and people of the world, this has been protected. But so far, nothing tells us that this is under threat anyway, and the world concurs. Our departure point is to say 2010 FIFA World Cup is international event staged in South Africa. That's why the world must protect it. South Africa leading, and the world has agreed that together we will. We are working very well, very closely with all agencies that we are working with internationally. So we are fine. The only problem that we are trying to deal with is the North Korea team that will be based in Zim. So it's a bit of a juggle that we'll have to work around. But we are speaking to FIFA, and we think we'll find the solution. We have had three meetings, Madam Chair, with SAPCO, our counterparts in the region, all SADC chief of police. The minister had had a meeting with all ministers of police in SADC, and we are working very closely. We have created structures. We have created structures with Interpol, where we share information, Madam Chair, of the non-grata people beyond the soccer hooligans. We have created the structures with the countries involved that have hooligans. That information is being shared to block those people. We are working very closely with sister departments, especially the defense, the home affairs, and all. So, Madam Chair, we are very satisfied that we, as South African police and all other agencies and all other sister departments that went to enhance the security, it is. But indeed, as you say, there are things that on daily basis we are closing down. We have bought or we have procured very serious equipment, Madam Chair. Some is being delivered as we speak. Some will be delivered still in a week. Things that we are doing. This committee, you see, we meet twice a week, every Monday, and we determine when do we meet again and who do we meet as other agencies that we work. And we have narrowed, Madam Chair, the policing to 2010, both national interest and the international interest. On the 24th of this month, we are fully consumed by 2010, where all agencies will be based in the country, I mean international agencies. We have invited all participating countries to send their officers, between 6 and 8 members, to work with us on daily basis. Some countries have requested, especially US and UK, have requested more people to send. We have no problem, but they'll take care of them. Let's put this very clear. All police from other countries have no authority of arrest in South Africa. They are here on advisory capacity to work with South African police to advise on their teams, on their country behavior, and all that. So nobody from Germany will arrest anybody in South Africa. That remains the prerogative of South African government working with the agencies from others. The head of operations, Andre, I need to say Andre Nair.
Better looking.
Andrew will give us the abridged plan of the actual boxes, what we do through our point, madam, if I can hand over to Lieutenant General.
Thank you very much, National Commissioner. I just want to mention to members that indeed the National Commissioner has been requesting this meeting. Initially, it was supposed to be in April, but members will know that because of that big committee meeting and its program, we thought that we're then going to have a meeting that included everybody, but it was cancelled, and therefore we had to replan as the committee, hence this meeting is sitting today. And I think I must say that as the National Commissioner is saying, they couldn't wait for the meeting. They had to go ahead with their plans and implement them, such as the launch that took place here in Cape Town. They could not wait for the committee meeting. And that is why there was a launch, then there is a meeting. It was because of changes that happened in Parliament, which unfortunately could not, in fact, they were affecting them negatively, and they couldn't wait for Parliament program. So I just want to say that. But otherwise, the National Commissioner indeed has been requesting that they come and brief the Portfolio Committee on their readiness. Commissioner Price.
Thanks, Madam Chair, members of the committee. Madam Chair, I will try to be very brief, taking into account that during the workshop of the committee, you also did have a discussion on the security plan relating to the World Cup. Madam Chair, if one look at the security plan, just firstly again to emphasize, it's in actual fact three plans in one. It deals with national security elements, and I'll make a comment on the national security elements. Secondly, law enforcement, and then thirdly, event-specific safety. The event-specific safety part is being implemented in cooperation with various private security companies which have been contracted by the LOC. If one further look at the plan, and that's the reference to the two tiers of security, on the one hand you will recognize normal security measures to be implemented at a port of entry, at the stadium, etc. But then there are also very specialized security approaches, such as, for example, the planning and...
Can I interrupt? I'm sorry, Commissioner Price. We are not going to have that presentation. It won't be distributed, and therefore we'll have to concentrate. I realize that members also, I was asking if we should be getting copies, but let's just focus on the presentation. It won't be distributed.
Thanks, Madam Chair. The second part is the utilization of specialized capacity, such as, for example, the special task force of the police service, which will operate in cooperation with the special forces of the South African National Defense Force. The deployment of members of 7 Medical Battalion of the SANDF to deal with any possible chemical, biological, radiological threat. The airspace security with the deployment of radar, the utilization of fighter aircraft to sanitize the airspace before, during, after matches, etc. So on the one hand, it's normal security measures. On the other hand, the utilization of very specialized capacities within the security environment of South Africa to make sure that the event is safe and secure. Given thanks. Madam Chair, the National Commissioner referred to the ICC, which is the Intelligence Coordinating Committee, comprising members from Crime Intelligence, members from the National Intelligence Agency, Defense Intelligence, South African Secret Service, NICOC, and some other role players. And I think one must immediately take into account that the ICC operates in cooperation with intelligence agencies, police services, Interpol, etc., from all over the world. It is not only a South African committee, it's a committee liaising with counterparts from all over the world. The responsibilities, Madam Chair, firstly, is a domestic risk assessment. In that regard, attention has been given to, for example, domestic extremism, the possibility of disruptive actions, and in this regard, we look, for example, at venues, and then a 10-kilometer radius around the venues, and focus on issues like possible strike action, service delivery protests, etc. We also look at ports of entry, security of your ports of entry. And I must say that if one look at the Intelligence Coordinating Committee, the result of their work, they do not only provide now on a weekly basis security assessment, but tactical intelligence is flowing on a minute basis. Every little piece of tactical intelligence which has been collected within the country or liaised with agencies in the country is immediately liaised with operational personnel so that the necessary steps can be taken. Secondly, they focus on threats against participating countries, which may be internal threats in a country, but also the issue of international terrorism. And in this regard, I think the liaison that they've established with agencies all over the world, and specifically agencies of certain superpowers, put us in a position that one can have a very clear indication of the possibility of any threat in relation to international terrorism. Thirdly, Madam Chair, they focus on threats which may impact on the event. If we look, for example, at threats against participating countries, an analysis is being made to determine whether those threats could be imported during the event. Lastly, Madam Chair, it's a risk assessment of certain matches. What we did is what we took the various participating countries and then based on the risk assessment, categorized the countries into possible high-risk countries, medium-risk countries, low-risk countries, and depending on where those countries participate in matches, etc., as well as some other information that we take into account, we have a risk assessment of matches to determine it's a high, medium, or a low-risk match. Madam Chair, lately we've also focused on cooperation in the region with the SARCO countries. The National Commission has indicated the meetings which did take place. And the following three elements are receiving attention. Number one, an international terrorism risk assessment that is in cooperation with our neighbors. Secondly, security at ports of entry and the borderline. I'll give you an indication how we are dealing with the borderline, not only by means of the satellite imaging that we are using, but also by means of sharing information between us and our neighbors. Thirdly, organized crime, where specifically the Hawks do play a major role, where we've identified possible projects between the various countries and jointly focused to neutralize any threats in that regard. Madam Chair, then the three issues that the ICC is specifically focusing on: terrorism, border integrity, and the national key points. On the national key point side, it also relates to possible threats that they may be against not only a key point such as Oliver Tambo International Airport, but also various other key points. From the operational side, Madam Chair, to deal with any possibility in relation to terrorism, Operation Protect has been stepped up again. It is an operation which was implemented after the 9/11 incident, and it comprises firstly intelligence, then secondly issues relating to ports of entry, thirdly target protection, which may be people as well as certain venues, and largely contingency plans to deal with any eventuality in relation to terrorism. And I'll make one or two examples of the contingency plans which will be implemented by the IRS forces if necessary. Madam Chair, as far as port of entry are concerned, plans have been developed dealing with the inner and outer perimeter of the airports, the land sites, as well as the air side of the airports, in relation to 9 international airports that will be utilized during the event, 8 domestic airports, as well as the military airports, which will primarily be utilized for VVIPs visiting the country. Secondly, the same applicable to the 3 seaports that will be operational during the event, a seaside plan as well as a land side plan, as well as the escorting of cruise ships. We are aware of a few cruise ships which will visit South Africa during the event, and it will also then include escorting the cruise ships into the harbour from approximately 12 nautical miles out at sea. On the land port side, although we have 54 land ports between us and our neighbours, some dedicated ports have been identified between us and our neighbours that will serve as World Cup ports of entry, where we will jointly deploy and facilitate movement through those ports of entry. Madam Chair, on the borderline part, the three-tier approach only means that we operate in a firstly 12 nautical mile zone, then 24 nautical mile, and then into the deep sea. We've tested the three-tier approach last month by means of Operation Prosper, where one of the Navy frigates with members of the police, as well as customs and home affairs, moved firstly from Cape Town to Durban and then back to Cape Town, where we've utilized not only intelligence but also information relating to the International Ship and Port Security Code system. And I think in that regard there was an indication that the cooperation between the departments can excellently be implemented if we utilize the same platform, such as the frigate, which was utilized in that regard. On the air safety part, Madam Chair, there will be restricted areas during the World Cup. I think with the implementation of Operation Shield 6, which was also a simulation but the testing of systems, some of the teething problems that we've had previously with the filing of flight plans, etc., have been addressed, and I think the cooperation is far better now between us as well as then the persons who would like to fly in certain areas during a period of an operation. Madam Chair, on the land side, planning between us and the Defence Force have been completed. We operate in a 10-kilometre area from the borderline, where the police will perform certain functions, especially intelligence-driven operations, and the Defence Force will deploy certain functions, such as the patrol of the area. I think by means of the joint planning, there is now an integration of the approaches so that we have one concept that will be implemented on the borderline. As far as the satellite imaging is concerned, we've identified by means of the ICC certain areas where we could have crossings taking place, and I'll show you one borderline there. And then put that on the satellite image so that we can have visuals of the areas where possible problems can be experienced and utilize that for deployment purposes. Madam Chair, this is how we do it. That's, for example, the border between us and Botswana, the permanent bases that we have, an indication of vehicle crossings taking place over the border, person crossings, and then the issue of joint jobs. What we've decided within SARPO is that we will have joint operational centers between us and Botswana, us and Zimbabwe, us and Mozambique, for example, the one there at Skulpazak, where we will plan jointly on a day-to-day basis. We've decided, for example, if the South African Defense Force and Police Force will deploy from west to east, maybe Botswana military can deploy from east to west, etc., so that we can have joint planning as well as the joint utilization of our forces on a day-to-day basis. But I'm saying on the VIPs and VVIPs, the police will take responsibility for all VVIPs visiting South Africa. At this stage, we have an indication of already a number of VIPs that will visit, but I think also important to take into account that the police will take responsibility for 35 FIFA VIPs that will be protected by means of police protection teams. Then on the static protection side, Madam Chair, based on the risk assessment, we also pay special attention in cooperation with embassies on certain buildings and facilities where protection must be stepped up. Madam Chair, on the base camp side, that's the protection of the teams. You can see that Gauteng is really the province which is affected. Mostly there will be 19 base camps in Gauteng, 5 KwaZulu-Natal, 3 in the Western Cape. And I think it should be taken into account that the police will have full responsibility for the protection of teams. That will include the team in the base camp. It will include the team moving from a base camp to a training venue. If the team should train, securing the training venue. If the team should go to any other venue, the movement of the team and securing of the venue, protection of the team at the stadium, etc. So as from arrival until leaving country, police will have the responsibility of team protection. Madam Chair, the cyber pick both to venue-specific team hotels and venue-specific training sites. That's just an indication. If you stay in a certain hotel, this is where you will practice. And for us, just the time it will take us to make sure that the team will arrive on time. For the base camps and the hotels, we've done area profiles. That's areas surrounding the hotel. Secondly, a risk assessment of the hotel. We've made certain recommendations to the hotel management of security to be stepped up. We've completed operational plans both for the inner and outer perimeter, and inner perimeter will mean, for example, the access control, the lift in the hotel, facilities to be utilized by the team in, for example, gyms, etc. And on the outer perimeter, it will be patrolling the fence, access control at the gates, etc. On the movement of the team, police escorts will comprise visible vehicles, but also unmarked vehicles utilized by our specialized members. On route planning, we've planned already for all primary routes, but also identified a lot of alternative routes, because you may have traffic jams, etc., and you can then not reach a venue in time. So various alternative routes have been planned, with safe havens on the routes, etc., that if you should move from the road and secure an area for the team, that we know where we will take them to. In the National Joint Operational Center, there's tracking of all team movements. We will know whenever they move, where they're going. And if necessary, it seems to us mostly aircraft will be utilized to transport teams. However, there are certain shorter distances where aircraft will not be utilized. And if necessary, we will provide air support and air cover to the team if we transport the teams. Madam Chair, the police service provides team security liaison officers to each one of the teams, plus close protectors. Our team security liaison officer is really the liaison person with team security, their team liaison officer with the high-risk forces, special operations, missions, HQ, etc. So a police member will coordinate all security activities of the team. Those members have been specially trained in various fields. I think General Lamour also paid attention to making them diplomats, so that they're not only very highly trained security members, but that they act as diplomats, know how to liaise, know how to manage time management, etc. So our team security liaison officer will really be the central point for any security of the team, and then liaise with all the other support groupings to provide support to the TSLO and the CPOs in the team. But I'm saying, if they practice at a venue, we will only make a difference between open to public and closed to public. If it's an open to public practice venue, and there's already not only practice sessions that we know of, but there's also going to be practice matches, friendly matches in the run-up to the World Cup. If the public is there, the type of security zones applicable to a stadium will be applicable to the practice venue. That is activating 1 to 8. If it's a closed session, only the team, we will only activate 1 to 5, which means up to the perimeter of the stadium. Madam Chair, a comprehensive transport plan has been developed in cooperation with the Department of Transport, making provision for air transport, rail transport. I think in the vicinity of approximately 4,000 members from General Shabalala's division will be deployed on those trains. We got the information on the special trains running in the country, cross-border trains that will be running, and those cross-border trains, one of the issues that we will secure in cooperation with our neighbors. On the maritime side, we do know of the cruise ships, the movement of the cruise ships. We've also discussed with our neighbors, such as, for example, Namibia, Angola, Mozambique, etc., that it can be a joint effort between us, that there is a handing over of a cruise ship from one country to another. Madam Chair, that's just an indication of the transport hubs. It's also smaller in cities where we deal with park and rides, park and walks, etc. So it runs from the borders of the country, cross-border, up to the smaller parts inside the city. The one issue that we've paid special attention to is emergency points, especially on long distances, such as, for example, from Pretoria to Bloemfontein. It's 500 kilometers. You have small little towns in between, not with all the disaster management capacity, EMS capacity, etc. So between us, health, and the defense force, we're setting up emergency points with helicopter support that if there should be a bus accident, that we can immediately provide first responder assistance from the side of the military, the police, as well as health and EMS capacity being put in place. Madam Chair, the cities, the sectors have been identified, all information regarding where people will stay, bars, restaurants, on the GIS system. The special investigation teams are in place. After the FCC, Madam Chair, you will remember that in the debriefing session we've indicated instead of having one team, we now have three specific types of teams. One dealing with any crime relating to a stadium, the other one any crime relating to accommodation, and thirdly any crime relating to other fan areas where people will be. Special courts have been identified. I think we've had one or two trial runs in that regard, and we do not foresee any problems with the special courts. Madam Chair, that's just how we deal with the stadium. Kevin, maybe just go to the following one. That's the zones, as I've indicated, and if you look at it practically, that's Bombela. Next one, Kevin. If you take the zones, Madam Chair, that's inside the stadium where we will have public order police reaction forces in the corners of the stadium, plus a large number of spotters. That will be implemented in cooperation with private security. Then if you look at the inner perimeter up to the fence, you will have police contact points. The turnstiles will be police, where we will again run names against the dangerous and disruptive persons, database that we're compiling. MAC and BAC areas will not only be private security, police will be at the MAC and BAC. Jointly we will deal with prohibited and restricted items. Then on the outer perimeter, we will have traffic warning zones, free zones, etc., where we will deploy up to the city perimeter. Kevin, you can continue. Madam Chair, outside the stadium will be a host city reaction force, where you will have task force members, special force members, members of 7 Medical Battalion dealing with CBRN, members from the National Intervention Unit, bomb squad members, etc., to react to any eventuality that may occur. So each one of the host cities will have a reaction force, approximately 196 members in each one of those reaction forces. Madam Chair, there will be a remote search park. All vehicles entering must go through the remote search park. Kevin, you can continue. That will be also linked to the lock point of the LOC for the LOC vehicles to go in. So it's a joint effort between us, lock point, as well as the remote search park. In the stadium VOC, the police commander will be the commander. We will have two types of commanders. In the VOC, you will have a police commander who can only see the pavilion and the stadium. The commander can't see outside. Outside the stadium will be the reaction force commander. So 1, 2, 4, the VOC commander in charge, that's the zones. From zone 5 up to zone 8 will be the reaction force commander to be in charge of all forces to be deployed there. That's just who will be in the VOC. You can see the police members, the LOC contingent, the host city contingent, and then various others, which may be FIFA, Interpol, members representing a playing country, etc. Madam Chair, we've decided to jointly run the issue of mass evacuation areas outside the stadium, where if necessary, that the police and the military can provide support to the host city, EMS, and disaster management capacity. So jointly we will deal with mass evacuation areas and give the necessary support to disaster management. The fan fest and the PVAs, Madam Chair, the fan fest have been identified. Those we will deal again in the 8 type of security zone. So the type of security plan applicable to a stadium, to a practice venue will be applicable to fan fest and the PVAs. That's just an indication where the fan fest will be. Fortunately, I don't think we will be responsible also to police those ones in Paris, Mexico, Rome, etc. However, General Taylor has indicated that possibly we will move our job to Rio de Janeiro at the Copacabana, that you can have a bit of distance and not get confused in the nitty-gritty of the major operation. So we will react from the Copacabana if necessary.
Afterwards. We have another goal, thank you.
I hope Liesel will not write that we will be at the Copacabana. Kevin, okay? Many of the hosts will not only have fan space, they will also have fan miles. Port Elizabeth, Cape Town, etc. So you're going to have a fan space in a specific area and then a fan mile. So in terms of your force levels, it places major responsibility. You can at the fan space to a large degree control access, etc., but not in the fan mile. If you start walking in Cape Town from here up to the stadium, you're going to have little stalls where you stop, drink beer at this one, eat something here, etc. So we will then deploy a visible police member specifically to do crime prevention within the ambit of the fan mile. So most of the host cities, they use a fan mile as well as a fan fest. Madam Chair, that's the contingency plans. Our primary role, the security-related one, terrorism, bomb explosions, etc. on the left-hand side. You can see what we are providing for, kidnapping, hostage situations, etc. And then the man-made or natural disaster. The department primarily responsible is COGDA, the National Disaster Management Center, being the main command center. And I'll indicate to you how we've linked the command center to our National Joint Operational Center. At the bottom, you can see, Madam Chair, that our reaction forces will provide the assistance to disaster management. The SANDF will have one company deployed in each province. So that company, if necessary, will provide major support to disaster management structures. Kevin, go. Madam Chair, that's just how the reaction forces will look like, the high-risk forces in the host city, what they will comprise of. Secondly, Madam Chair, we will have three response groups to deal with assistance to a host city, if necessary. That will be the capacity of the response groups. Those ones will be deployed by means of specifically SANDF capacity, aircraft as well as helicopters such as the Oryxes, to go to a host city and give assistance to a high-risk force if necessary. But I'm saying that is just to show if North Korea is going to Zimbabwe and stay in Harare, it seems to me, where they will be in the run-up to the World Cup. That's not going to be their base camp. FIFA has indicated you can't have a base camp outside the borders of South Africa during the event. But it seems to us in the run-up to the event they will be there. In that regard, we must have very close cooperation between SARCO reaction forces, that's the high-risk forces of Zimbabwe, because they will have the responsibility to protect North Korea when they are there, as well as our high-risk forces. And we've agreed to have a very close cooperative system in place, that if they want our support, that immediately, Madam Chair, we can support them, especially from the side of high-risk forces, which means anti-terrorism forces, task force, special forces of the defense force, etc. Kevin, go. Madam Chair, that's the command and control. You can see at the top is cabinet, then we have the cabinet committee, then we have the DG's committee and
then
the SARCO committee.
They come in there. They are really disturbing us with, because he's a staff member and the general. Can't disturb our meeting.
Madam Chair, the National Commissioner and the DGs, they will have a joint operational center in the building of General Shabalala. Then the NATJOC will be at Snake Valley, and then you can see on the left-hand side, from there we also liaise with FIFA, LOC, other role players. On the right-hand side, the International Police Cooperation Center, which I'll indicate to you now, plus down to the PROVJOCs. They will be in each province, the PROVJOC, and then to the various VOCs. As hotels, a VOC stands for, not a swear word, stands for a venue operational center, as hotels, the stadiums, and various other venues. Kevin, go. Madam Chair, on the national level, you can see some of the capacities will be under the National Joint Operational Center, such as the NACC stands for National Airport Corps Command. So the airport will be run from a national level. In charge there will be General Shabalala. Then the whole airspace will be run from the national level. The maritime will be run from the national level. And on the right-hand side, you have the Special Operations Missions HQ, where the special forces, those reaction forces, especially the three regional ones, will be under national command. The rest under provincial command. Kevin, okay? But I'm saying this is how we link the network. You can see it is linked to police operational rooms. On the right-hand side, it's linked to SANGF operational rooms, to health operational rooms, SAS, NIA, the NCC, COCTA, etc. So what we have there is an operational room with a capacity to link up to any other operational room that we would like to link up to. Otherwise, you have a very, very big place with many people there, and it can be disturbing if you run an operation to have too many people in an operational room. Kevin, go. But I'm saying it's also linked to the SARCO jobs. In all the SARCO countries, there will be jobs comprising the police and the military of those countries. Kevin, go. Madam Chair, then for international cooperation and international police cooperation centers established, in that regard you will have operational personnel from the participating countries. Secondly, an Interpol office. Thirdly, Kevin, you can go. Intelligence officers from the various countries. Then 6 to 8 members who will be operationally deployed wherever the team of that country plays. If the U.S. is playing at Royal Bafokeng against England on the 12th of June, the officers of the U.S. will be at the Royal Bafokeng and English officers will be at Royal Bafokeng to be deployed in cooperation with us. In the International Police Cooperation Center, we will say on 0-2, it means 0 is the day that the game will take place, -2, then we do the planning. We say we need 2 U.S. officers at turnstile 1-2-3. We need 4 U.S. officers at Mac and Back 1-2-3. We need 6 U.S. officers as spotters inside the stadium, zone 1 and zone 3. So they will not just deploy there and decide for themselves what they will do. We sit in the ITCC, do the planning, and then we deploy them to a specific stadium. Lastly, SARCO will also have their office there, and it is clear to us that names being provided to the National Commissioner's office, the second in command of most of the SARCO countries, the police commander will be there. General Nguyen also had a discussion with the military, and it seems to us a very high-level military officer will also form part of the regional deployment in the IPCC. But I'm saying this is just how the IPCC on the left-hand side will lead up to the NATJOC. We will also have one-on-one discussions there with members of the various countries. You want to share intelligence, you don't share it in a big group, then we have the opportunity for one-on-one. But we link that IPCC to the NATJOC, which will be at Snake Valley. Madam Chair, then on the media communication, a plan has been developed as well as crisis communication plans, who will speak on what. And in the last meeting that the National Commissioner did have with the Chiefs of SARCO, it's also been decided that as far as the region is concerned, there will be cooperation on media liaison. Madam Chair, thanks.
Thanks, Madam Chair. As you could see, there are a few challenges, Madam Chair. One challenge are your, I'm a fan first, but one challenge are PVAs. We were told that initially there will be about 40.
Are you talking about paint now?
public viewing area, PVA. It was initially suggested that every not municipality. What is this big municipality?
Yeah,
metro and district will have one, which gives us about 46 in the country. But I've heard one MEC saying they'll put these PVAs in every corner of their province. Now, the number we have is 77. Keeps growing. I'm telling you, Madam Chair, it's difficult to police PVAs and the fences because it's got that kind of an order and all. There is more risk and we demand more members. So if they don't give us final figure now, we would not know how to plan for PVAs. So it's one area where we are facing a challenge. One small challenge media has been asking about and have written about is a German issue of their hotel. It's continuing. We thought it has been resolved. It's continuing, Madam Chair. The hotel where they are where they will be living does not have the license to exist. They don't have the license to exist. But the way it's reported, it sounds like it's a security risk instead of an occupational risk, Madam Chair. If some people can make the distinction on that. It's an occupational risk because that portion where they'll be, they don't have the license to exist. Now, it puts us on the back foot as a South African police, Madam Chair. Can we go and secure people that they live in an illegal structure? So that's a dilemma we're facing. There's been a meeting recently because I think the municipality, Metro there, must grant that, is refusing to budge for whatever reason. But we have taken the matter to our ministers, the member of board, to deal with the minister of culture and to see what they can do. The other issue has been the liquor license, but that one looks like it's sorted out. The license has been granted. So, but we remain in the dilemma, South African police. Will we go to the illegal place to guard an illegal site? If anything happens there, where are we as South African police? So that's a bit of a challenge. One challenge, Madam Chair, is the American president who is coming, not coming. It's 50-50 as it stays. He didn't say he's a very famous prayer. Our famous prayer is that they don't make the second round. American. They get eliminated. Please don't print that. They get eliminated and they go home. Because we are told that if we go to the second or third stage, the American president might come. And if we don't know now, and short at the present moment, I think it's got 43 names, provisional, 43 head of state provisional confirmed. 43 head of state now, provisionally confirmed. So that 43 will be equal to this one operation. Will be equal to this one operation, Madam Chair. So it's one challenge that I heard the Minister of International Relations saying the likelihood is bigger, it's becoming bigger of coming. But nobody, we don't believe that the gentleman was telling us the truth when we met the second in command of the FBI. He says he doesn't know. I don't think that person cannot know if the president is coming or not coming. It's one big challenge that we will be facing. Let me put this one, because it has come through, but has not made the news, that there was a little bit of a talk with the South African police and the overtime. That has been sorted out. that one, boom, sort it out, it's fine now, finalized with the South African police. So no chitaries on it. That's fine, Madam Chair. That's why we say we are ready. We have gone to the provinces. We are finalizing the launch that you have seen is going to provinces. On Monday, we are in Gauteng and Northwest. Twelve is Free State. Free State is alone. It was supposed to be Western Cape. Okay. And then on Thursday, we are going to KZN. In KZN, we are displaying the readiness of airport, where there is a hijack of an aeroplane, where there is a bomb threat, the arrival of team. There is one team that has availed themselves to be arriving team, the hijack and all that. And then Friday is Limpopo and Mpumalanga. So to finalize our actual practical on the field readiness, Madam Chair, of all the provinces. So that's our plan, and we want to make the request that if there are debates and clarifications, we should not make that on the media and in public. If members want a further clarification, if they can contact us, because the plan, Madam Chair, while it's important for the people to understand that they're saying there are areas that they remain valid as long as they are not countered. So if you give more information and publicly begin to debate it, it might compromise the plan. But we are there to explain further. But in a more responsible, that's why we can't supply it. It was very interesting that Brazil were on their knees, Madam Chair, requesting our plan when we were in Zurich. And we said no. But they have already invited us to help them for 2014 to work with them. So that will be our request, that it remains a security plan and must be protected as such, Madam Chair, as a security plan as we go towards this big, big event. Thanks.
National Commission. I know for a fact that if I must take questions now and allow you to respond, we will not go to this one. And therefore I'm going to use my authority as a chairperson and dictate to the meeting that we go ahead with the presentation on human trafficking implementation, so that when we then take questions, they cover everything. Otherwise, we're not going to touch this one. I definitely can say. And say to you, National Commissioner, one very big mistake and omission you committed as a department was you're not inviting the portfolio committee to your launch on the 29th. That's a serious omission. For me, who visited provinces and attended that launch, this presentation makes more sense. It completes everything. But for a person, some of the members are not part of the delegation that visited provinces, and therefore that is why I'm asking your PVAs, because it might mean nothing to them. Your prof job might definitely not mean anything to them, because they are not acquainted to these many acronyms. It was an omission on your side. Even the chairperson was not invited. She got crashed. It's just that you did not arrest her. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, she was
serious.
Yes, and I think that was a real omission. And I can tell you, we would not. I don't think we're going to ask many questions. And because of that, you are going to get many questions. It will be a punishment. That you don't do it ever again for such an important event. But let me please request the department to quickly take us through the human trafficking implementation plan, and then we're going to take questions on all these presentations.
Look at you. Let's take us through on that one.
Thank you, Madam Chair, honourable members of the Portfolio Committee, our respected National Commissioner and top management, respected members of the media. It is indeed a great honour to give this presentation regarding the South African Police Service's implementation plan in combating human trafficking during the most momentous sporting occasion that we will be hosting, where football will be central for the world and for us security. I will kick off by giving our highest assurances that the South African Police Service has prioritized and will be focusing on combating human trafficking during this event. In fact, over several years, we have already been looking at the issue of human trafficking, and we have been doing intensive planning, training, and I think we are indeed ready for the event. The first half of my presentation will basically look at introducing the concept of human trafficking. I will then paint a global as well as a domestic landscape of the human trafficking situation, and then I will move on to the most important part of the presentation to tell you what exactly the South African Police Service is doing to deal with the whole concept of human trafficking in terms of operations, training, as well as how we are working together with our partners. Human trafficking is a relatively new phenomenon in South Africa. It is certainly in the spotlight, and there has been recent and growing concerns regarding human trafficking. However, due to increasing awareness campaigns, assessments, and police operations, I believe we are developing a better picture on the scope of the problem. We are deepening our knowledge and understanding on the nature and extent of human trafficking. Internationally, human trafficking is high on the agenda. The United Nations family and various countries consider human trafficking a serious organized crime threat. In fact, the United Nations estimates human trafficking to generate $32 billion annually. South Africa has ratified and is in the process through a phased approach of complying with the United Nations Transnational Organized Crime Convention, in particular the protocol dealing with suppressing human trafficking. Human traffickers, by their very nature, are unscrupulous. They are certainly practicing modern-day slavery, as they are dehumanizing human beings and victims as mere commodities. There are various definitions of human trafficking, but the most comprehensive definition is the one in the United Nations Human Trafficking Protocol. Certainly, our South African definition, as well as, or the intended definition, as well as various other definitions, has extracted and contains all the vitamins and ingredients of the UN definition. But to very simply explain what is human trafficking, there are three basic elements. The first one is recruitment, and the recruitment will normally take place by fraud or deception. The second part is transportation, where they move you from a familiar environment to an unfamiliar environment. And the final part is the exploitation, which can normally take for a variety of reasons, but most visibly for the sex and labor industry. Now, to paint a global picture, we have certainly looked at various reliable reports on what is the global picture as far as trafficking is concerned. It is estimated that there are between 600 to 800,000 people trafficked annually, of which 80% are women, and girls, and up to 50% are minors. Now, the most lucrative part of human trafficking is certainly destined for the commercial sex industry. Human trafficking in many parts of the world is still considered a high-profit, low-risk activity because in many parts they do not have adequate legislation, and they still look at it in terms of the simplistic issues of prostitution. In terms of human trafficking, the trend shows that most of the recruitment is done in poor or developing countries, whilst the exploitation will take place in the more affluent or developed nations of the world, especially in the sex industry. Now, during the last World Cup in Germany, the European Parliament, as well as various organizations like we find here, have expressed serious concerns regarding human trafficking. However, our inquiries with the German police authorities have indicated that there was no significant increase or activity noted during the World Cup. So, certainly in South Africa, would the recent media reports as well as speculation by various organizations has resulted in the South African police services, organized crime, as well as our partners being on full alert to be able to try and identify possible trafficking groups and see what interventions we will put in place during the 2010 and beyond. In terms of causes of trafficking, there are various push and pull factors that fuel human trafficking. Most of it is revolving around socio-economic issues, where we are dealing with the usual issues of poverty, unemployment, but there are also more sinister forces of organized crime and lucrative profits that create this huge demand and naturally huge challenges for governments and law enforcement. Internationally, as well as in South Africa, most of the exploitation will certainly be centered around the commercial sexual exploitation, as well as in certain areas of cheap and sweat labor. Now, in terms of South Africa, certainly there is growing concern, and human trafficking has been on the agenda for the last few years. Most of the human trafficking is certainly in our own intelligence assessment destined for the sex industry. Now, South Africa as a country, certainly there has been reports from the International Organization for Migration, although it is less voluminous and to a much lesser extent, where there has been few incidents where females in particular have been trafficked from South Africa. But in the region, we are considered one of the more major destinations for both regional as well as extra-regional trafficking. In terms of in-country trafficking, we have also detected where persons, especially females from the rural areas, are being recruited into prostitution rings into the major cities. There is certainly a very strong and unholy alliance between South African as well as foreign organized crime groups in perpetrating human trafficking or suspected human trafficking activities. Now, in terms of the South African situation, more particularly when we're looking at commercial sexual exploitation, as you can see in the presentation, we have females coming both regionally as well as extra-regionally. The most common victims or females that we have in the sex industry comes from Thailand, because most of the major centers have Thai females that are employed in one or other way within the sex industry. In terms of the South African situation, certainly we cannot see prostitution in isolation, and we will be able to demonstrate some of the case studies that we have dealt with, where there is a strong links between prostitution as well as suspected human trafficking. In South Africa, most of the females and victims of suspected human trafficking are certainly absorbed within the major brothels and strip clubs. From the operations that we have done over the last few years, we have encountered between 2 and 25, mainly foreign females, working or being employed in these brothels or other kinds of places in the sex industry. We are also seeing through our operations and interventions we are doing, there is also an increase in-country trafficking. Now, the issue relating to the prostitution and the sex industry is no longer confined to the major city centers, but we are seeing that it is exponentially expanding into the outlying areas, for example, in Rustenburg, Richards Bay, and many other parts of the country. When we're dealing with the victims through the debriefing sessions we have done as a police as well as done by the International Organization for Migration, we find that certainly the victims would normally be in debt bondages of anywhere in the region of between 60,000 to 100,000, which they have to work out, pay out before they would be able to move on into other areas. Now, both in South Africa as well as abroad, it is normally very difficult to quantify the nature and extent of human trafficking. Although I've earlier shown what could be the global picture, there is certainly a lot of difficulty and challenges in being able to come to a more precise thing. Even when one looks at the South African situation, especially with the sex industry, and for example, with the major newspapers, if you just look at the classified section, one can see the amount of people being offered, and normally many of this is done in domestic situations where they are operating in residential areas under a lot of supervision and protection in domestic situations in many times. As General Price has already indicated that we have a 2010 security plan, and combating organized crime, including human trafficking, is integral to our security plan. There are various pillars in our action plan to combat human trafficking. Certainly, we will be looking at operational interventions. We have been looking at training over the last few years, and most importantly, because of the cross-cutting nature of human trafficking, we have to work with various partners within government and beyond. In the Directive for Priority Crimes Investigation, human trafficking is prioritized as a major focus area. We have a national human trafficking coordinator who is a nodal point to facilitate all investigations as well as requests relating to human trafficking. In order to ensure that we are properly represented in the province, that each province we have a dedicated provincial human trafficking coordinator, and together with the National Prosecuting Authority and various government departments, non-governmental organizations, including embassies, we have task teams that we are working over the years in a very, very good and healthy way. Now, when there is any human trafficking investigation conducted by the police or any incident reported, we have within each organized crime unit investigators that are adequately trained in order to be able to undertake these investigations. And over the last few years, we have conducted several operations, and we currently have many ongoing operations to address suspected human trafficking at major brothels and various hotspots that we have identified. Now, in the normal course of events, and our experience has shown us that when human trafficking cases are being brought to us, it will be usually through community organizations, it will be usually through embassies, and it will be through our own intelligence that we would conduct. Irrespective of where it would be reported, whether it be at station level or it be at national level, the investigations will be conducted within our organized crime investigation units, and at a national level, we will monitoring the investigations to ensure that it gets the correct momentum and the desired results. Now, in order to be able to create awareness to ensure that we have the necessary expertise, we have been giving special priority and paying special emphasis to training in the last few years. Within the South African Police Service, together with the International Organization of Migration, the United Nations, as well as various other bodies, training has been provided to our members, especially on the front line working at ports of entry, at the organized crime units, and those working in dedicated task teams. Currently, we are providing in-service training to ports of entry members countrywide. Together with the Department of Justice, in May, we are going to be providing training countrywide, and the SAPS will also be participating in assisting with this training intervention. In the last 2 years alone, we have trained over 1,000 police officers regarding human trafficking. Within the organized crime component, where all the investigations are undertaken, since 2007, in our organized crime investigation course, 341 organized crime investigators have been trained. In addition to these training and in-service sessions, we have national instructions relating to child trafficking. We have also issued circulars and instructions relating to how to deal with the current legislation dealing with trafficking for sexual purposes. Now, certainly the plan that the South African Police Service has cannot be done alone. So we certainly place special premium in working in an integrated and multidisciplinary approach with various stakeholders. Our plan is also aligned with the Department of Justice and Constitutional Plan for 2010, especially in relating to any cases that will be reported during this event, as well as to ensure that we comply with some of the legislative implications. The South African Police Service forms an integral and active part of the intersectoral task team on human trafficking, led by the National Prosecuting Authority. We have been doing so for the last few years, and we continue to play a very prominent and active role in this regard. Certainly, we have partnered with the International Organization for Migration. We are working very closely with the embassies. Over the years, in certain instances, the embassies have contacted us to assist with rescue missions of victims of trafficking, and the police has acted very promptly and very remarkably with a lot of positive feedback from the embassies in the manner and the sympathy in which we have dealt with the victims. Certainly, with the 2010, Interpol will be an integral player as far as this is concerned. General Praise already spoke about SARPO, and certainly within SARPO, we are looking also within the domain of human trafficking on how we can better be able to combat this within the region. We are working with various non-governmental organizations on a day-to-day basis to be able to facilitate the exchange of information, as well as to be able to work together with them in other ways that we can create awareness in the area of human trafficking. Now, during the 2010 and beyond, in terms of dealing with cases, there has already been a very systematic process in place. We have the provincial task teams. These provincial task teams are multidisciplinary task teams, which has specialist prosecutors. It has people from the Department of Social Development. It has the Department of Home Affairs, as well as various other stakeholders. So in the event of dealing with any cases or incidents, certainly we would be able to immediately activate all the relevant role players. I will be able to talk about already the role of specialist prosecutors working together with the Hawks in being able to deal with these cases and the result. I'll be giving one case study on the result that we have been able to generate of... Certainly most important for us, and our whole approach is centered around that, is to be able to look at the rights and the dignity of the victims. And if any of the victims that we would be engaging with intend to be witnesses, certainly we would be able to utilize the witness protection program to be able to ensure that they are there to assist us in giving the necessary testimony against the traffickers. We have been working over the years and continue to do so with the International Organization for Migration, as well as the Tutuzela Center, to be able to provide safe custody to shelter victims. And during the event, there are going to be various other initiatives to be able to make it easier to deal with victims. In terms of the legislative framework, the Trafficking in Persons Bill has not yet been passed, so we are still awaiting fully-fledged legislation, which certainly would be the ideal and desired situation. However, with the phased approach, and in terms of the harsh realities, most of the trafficking is basically destined for sex trafficking. So with the Criminal Law Sexual Offences and Amendment Act, certainly we have some legislation to be able to utilize, and the police have been utilizing it in all our ongoing investigations. In addition to that, wherever there may be gaps, we have been utilizing the existing statutory and common law offences which are listed there, and we've been able to again use the full might of the existing legislation. Within the South African Police Service, we have already introduced and distributed national instructions, so right at the grassroots level, right at the frontline level, all our officers are then expected to be able to understand and know how to deal with such cases that are brought to our attention. Now, I will basically touch on the case study. This case study started in 2007, and it started off as a pure brothel investigation. However, when we worked in this very integrated way between the organized crime investigators, the prosecutors, and other role players, we were able to then look into being able to see exactly what we are dealing with. This has been the first racketeering and the first very high-profile racketeering case that we have concluded in KwaZulu-Natal. Although you can see we have not charged and prosecuted the people for human trafficking because it predated any legislation, but the manner in which we have dealt with it, the disruption that we have done, certainly fitted the profile of a human trafficking structure that was highly organized. During the 2010 World Cup, any cases or incidents reported to us, our operational and related expenses will be covered from the existing budget of the Hawks. In terms of challenges, certainly, as I've indicated, we will require the fully fledged legislation if we have to deal with trafficking in its entirety. Now, whilst we have Interpol as well as various international law enforcement agencies present, if victims report any incident, certainly the police would be able to assist them. But at the places of exploitation, in the brothels or wherever, the victims will still be trapped because they may not be able to communicate with someone unless it is reported to the police. So at that stage, the victims will have barriers. But from the police side, should any incident be reported, we will be able to deal with it. One of the problems that we have been experiencing both in South Africa as well as our understanding from our international counterparts is, although we have been vigorously doing debriefing sessions with the victims in order to be able to identify and to arrest and prosecute the actual traffickers, many of them normally are scared. They feel that these people will still be able to reach them because the way a trafficking network works, the persons who normally recruit them are normally having some sort of direct contact with them. They know exactly where they come from. So usually the victims are not always prepared to participate in an investigative or prosecution process, but they may provide us useful information that we can just take independently. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, Chairperson. Just one or two things. The legislative framework will help us a lot to move on these matters. It's tedious, we are trying. But the other one, Dramat and myself will be meeting Mozambican counterparts on this. Looks like there is a serious corridor of Mozambique, so the meeting the police there. It's got two factors. This matter's got a pushing and a pulling factor. There are those that they might willingly move and find themselves either victims willingly or unwillingly. We say maybe those that come from economic and political unstable areas trying to move away from other things, they find themselves, there is a push factor of other things, and they find themselves victim or others, they move in an organized way, as we've said, that Mozambique at the present moment, we need to look and specializing on foreigners rather than Africans, and Zimbabweans will move because of other circumstances, but finding themselves falling on this one and other African countries. But there is this corridor that moves from Tanzania down to Mozambique. We'll be working, we're trying to work with our counterparts on it.
Thank you very, very much for the presentation. 5 minutes tea break. When we come back, the first head up, we take the first question.
I'm going to sit here now.
So we will just break for 5 minutes break, and we'll come back and take questions. Thank you. We will be taking questions in this order. Honorable Greg, Honorable Taifa, Honorable Mishwe, Honorable Kola Bernard, Honorable Annelies, in that order. Questions, please.
Thanks very much, Comrade Chairperson, and thanks to the National Commissioner and his team for the presentations, for the information. I think we can honestly say that we'll leave here a lot better informed. I want to just say and echo the comments of the Chairperson just about our being able to actually visibly see some of the preparedness, state of preparedness. And in the presentation, it was mentioned that there are going to be some launches in the various provinces. And I wonder if it wouldn't be possible, and I hope I'm not out of order, but to ask whether it's not possible that we could be invited to one or two of these, if it's possible, to be able to just observe and get a far better understanding. I think it's one thing to see on PowerPoint presentations, etc., but it's another thing to actually physically see. So if it's possible. That would be the one, Chris. But Jefferson, we've been on visits recently with this joint committee oversight visit to a number of the stadiums. We were able to interact with the SAPS in a number of cities, and we were able to see firsthand some of the major developments, initiatives, etc. And I was just sitting here thinking, you know, there's a number of areas where there are legacy. There's going to be a legacy left back behind for us as a country after the World Cup. If you look at transport, the legacy is the BRT, rapid bus transport system, improvement in public transport. And if we look at all the work that is being done for the 2010 FIFA World Cup, the cooperation with other departments, the command centres that have been put together, the equipment that's being brought in, the extra training that has gone on. My question would be, what is the legacy for us as South Africa after the World Cup? My own thinking tells me that we will have a far better trained police service, that we would have a police service that's better equipped in all areas. And I'm just wondering whether a lot of these structures that are being put in place for the World Cup, are those structures that are going to simply disappear and be disbanded? Or is there not a possibility that some of these structures will remain in place to help us in our fight against crime, bearing in mind that the fight against crime is one of the five priority areas of this government? So that's really my question. I do have two other questions, if I may, Chairperson. The one is on the area was raised that the challenge will be some of the public viewing areas. But in Durban, the fan park is on the beach, actually right on the waterfront. And when we were down there, this was raised as a concern by the SAPS. Not the fact that there's a fan park, but the proximity to the ocean. And maybe we could just get a bit more clarity as to what measures are being put in place to protect fans from wandering into the ocean. That was a big concern that was raised with us. And then the other area that I'd like to really ask is just around the maritime section. We've been advised in this presentation, extensive work has been done to secure our ports, etc. But just the real question I want to just ask is, is our maritime section actually ready? When we were in Durban, I think it was, we were advised that, I think it was Durban, that's right, we were advised that there were a number of boats that had been ordered were on the way. So one just wants to know, are we ready? That's all I'd really like to know. Thanks, Chairperson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I have several questions related to both presentations, so please if you can indulge me there. The first issue that came up on our oversight visits was the security at several of the airports regarding fuel storage, the safety of the fuel storage supplies. Now, I can understand if you maybe don't wish to answer that right now in the public meeting, but I would very much like an answer as to what's been done about that. Secondly, why is it that we have to close off, particularly in Cape Town, the roads for 7 hours, the fan miles? It's just, it's going to cause a huge disruption. Is it really necessary, or is there any way it can be limited, the time can be reduced? Also, how many private airfields are there in the country, and are those being monitored, and if so, what measures have been put in place? As far as private airfields, as far as human trafficking goes, I'm very happy to see that something has in fact been done by the police, because we certainly haven't been told about it until now. So I'm very glad that there are some measures that have been taken and that this is now being taken up as an issue. My concern, though, I have several concerns. First of all, the fact that even we as a portfolio committee didn't know about it. Your communication plan clearly is non-existent. And given that it's such an important issue that so many people are taking notice of and are concerned about now, particularly with the World Cup, what are you going to do about publicizing your plan? And my real concern is, what happens if you get somebody who is being kidnapped or who's about to be kidnapped? We have a number of times been informed of people who are in shopping centers with their children, and there are people walking around taking photographs of their children or just looking at them strangely. And that kind of behavior, you need to phone somebody and say, please come and investigate now. What number can you phone? And please don't tell me 1-0-1-1, because we all know how long it takes to respond to that. Where do they phone to say, come now and investigate this issue? Do we have some kind of rapid response units in the provinces that you can use, that they can react quickly? If so, how many people are employed in those units? And how many people are employed at the trafficking desk? Because the other day I went to the Justice Portfolio Committee meeting, and they told us that they had this trafficking desk, but there's only one person there, and they only work from 8 till 4:30. So if you've been trafficked after 4:30 in the afternoon, tough luck. The other concern that we have is that the Justice Department is complaining that there aren't enough senior police officers participating in their meetings, and that they often have difficulty getting police members to come, senior police members, to come to those meetings to participate. Can you comment on that, please? My other major concern is really the story about corruption at the border posts. We saw recently a media exposure of how easy it is to bribe people at the Lubombo border post from Mozambique. What has been done about following that issue up? And generally, for the World Cup as well as afterwards, what measures have been put in place to combat corruption at border posts? And then just generally as a follow-up, I mean, can you just assure us that these measures are going to be continued after the World Cup? Because I have a concern that there's all these attention is being paid to it now, but then afterwards it might fall off the radar screen again. Can you please just assure us that you will continue combating this? Because it has been, as you say, ongoing for quite a long time anyway, and appears to be increasing, particularly in South Africa. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. My first question has to do with the security at the port of entry. I want to know whether you will be introducing metal detectors, or how would you be able to identify people that are carrying dangerous stuff, for example, suicide bombers. How can you identify a person who is aiming to maybe to blow the airport? Secondly, regarding the team movement, the commissioner said there will be safe havens along the route. Now, what are you talking about buildings? Now, if you're talking about buildings, are those buildings going to stay empty, just expecting for an emergency? Or what's going to be done to ensure that those havens are available when they are needed? And thirdly, if the PAVs are a challenge to the police, as you said, what guarantee do we have that those PAVs will not be targets for terrorist attacks? Or are those people going to be left to their own? Lastly, on the dedicated human trafficking desks, my question is about their relevance, because human trafficking is taking place right now, and children are being trafficked. And as our member said, the answer she was given when she asked the question about this was that they're open between 8 and 4, and only one person is there. Now, how are these desks going to help to counter human trafficking? Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Now, we have all, certainly I have, seen the bizarre, threatening emails that all whites are going to be murdered soon, farmers are going to be slaughtered, graphic photographs of bodies from who knows where, but I'm certainly sure they weren't South African crime scenes. Probably they looked, a lot of them scanned from murder, historical murder books. Now, I know the SAPs have clamped down on those little pockets of ultra-right wingers in South Africa, and they are really as dangerous in their way as Al-Qaeda are in their way, to a certain extent. But what is your media strategy to counter the perceptions that are being created externally, outside of our borders? Find a handle internally, but we've seen, for example, that march in Sweden by these ultra right-wingers saying that whites are being slaughtered here and it's an ethnic cleansing and genocide, and they had all the phrases up. It was on all TV stations. Now, how does one go about counteracting that sort of propaganda from outside of our borders? Now, I'm not sure in my own mind that it's not best simply to ignore them, not to give the story legs, but I'm not sure what your strategy is in that regard. Then you did say you were focusing extensively on ports of entry, and quite rightly so, but what of the border lines? Now, has the guarding of these lines been stepped up radically, specifically to stop the continental influx by foot and even by truck across the borders? Because it would not be difficult currently for chemical or other weapons of mass destruction to be brought in that manner across the borders. You know, the borders are our soft belly currently because of the situation we now find ourselves in. It hasn't been a priority for a very long time. And I personally believe it to be one of the strongest focuses. How high on your priority list is that? Now, I'd also like your personal assurance that cameras have been put in to all the cells at the stadia. Certainly when we toured, there were no cameras in, and all we need is a number of drunken fans from one country chucked in because they're rampaging, and you get another bunch of drunken fans and a bunch of one lot either beat up or kill another lot, and the headlines will read, "Our fan killed in South African jail." They won't say it was because of some other foreigners killing them. And secondly, has the instruction gone out that no matter how drunk or obnoxious or anything else these fans are, if they are going to be put into a SAP cell, is the instruction that they're to be treated with kid gloves? We cannot throw them into a cell of locals. You know that men are raped in our cells. Can you picture the headlines? You know, "Our fan raped in South African cell." It will negate your 3 years of work. It will negate 3 years of this entire country's work if one fan so much as trips and breaks a fingernail. So please, an instruction has to go out that they must be treated with kid gloves. What can you do? I was interesting, and I had read a great deal about where the teams are staying. Now, what legally can you do when a team insists on staying at a hotel that actually you've told them is not secure? I mean, where does it leave you legally? Because as you quite rightly said, I don't know legally if you've told a team we can't secure you properly in this hotel. I think it was one in Richards Bay, and you asked them to move and they said no. Now where are you? Are you still obliged to protect them? What, you know, it seems to me you're being left between a rock and a hard place. Is there anything in any regulation that gives you power over where they stay? I don't know. And then media cooperation. Now, there are huge complaints from the media in this country in relation to FIFA strictures, not of South African. Now, do the FIFA laws, for want of a better word, overrule the laws of this land in relation to freedom of the press? Because it does seem to be a problem. Now, if a journalist is doing his or her duty and breaks some FIFA regulation but has not broken a law in this country, now, are you obliged to arrest them? And I know this country is going to be called FIFA land and not South Africa for the next 2 months, but who has precedence here? Because FIFA seems to be laying down all sorts of laws, and everyone's bending over backwards to oblige. But I think that the journalists in this country should be treated by our laws and not necessarily by FIFA laws. I'd need an answer on that, please. Thank you.
Jefferson, I think that when we were going around the country, it was quite clear to us, and I think this presentation today confirmed that at a national level, everything that could have been done has been done. Mm. And I must congratulate the police as well, because I believe that when we were in the different provinces, you could feel the passion, you could feel the determination, you could feel the commitment from the police officers that we did speak to in the different provinces. And I'm not saying there weren't issues that we still had questions about, but you could see that these people were really, for them, this is going to be an event that they are going to play their role in terms of making South Africa proud. And I also think that the point that was raised around the public viewing areas is a very relevant point. And it's a point that, while we're talking about Soccer World Cup now, we're talking it in that context, but it's a point that is, I believe, we at some point as a committee will have to interact with other departments on all developments in South Africa, even the building of police stations. You get a situation where an area develops. The police plan to build a station at some point, and then the area develops to the other side, but nobody communicates with the police in the end around that. And those things, I think, is things that we need to address in the long term, while it's been highlighted here as well. I heard this morning that Pretoria is planning another 4 public viewing areas. It was on the radio this morning, for another 4. And I do believe we're expecting also of the police to sometimes work miracles in things that are not in their control and that they not necessarily get the necessary cooperation on. To add on to what Honourable Schneeman has asked in terms of the legacy, I would also like to know whether we are looking at afterwards, if we evaluate what has happened, not only in terms of the resources that we've bought in, etc., but the best practices that we might pick up during this period, whether we're looking at taking those on board and running through with it as part of our policing strategy for the rest of the time. For instance, in Durban, Honourable Schneeman will recall this as well, they told us that they have targeted certain clubs and areas where they know the people will go to and which they know are problematic, and that they will focus on these as well. And I mean, that is a positive, proactive policing, I think, that one can and I believe it is in place, but that we can roll out in greater enthusiastically throughout the country. That's the one thing I want to ask. Honourable Schneeman did ask the question about Durban, because I was also concerned about that. And again, that for me is an example of where SAPS from the beginning raised their concern around the venue. And despite that, it was decided it will be that and you will safeguard it no matter what. The question about the station, I think those of us who went on the oversight were informed that there's going to be designated stations dealing with this with designated cells. That's what we were informed. But I think what we then as people who were on the oversight talked about is the fact that you're also going to get people that might get arrested not in that area of the designated police cell, etc., but still related to coming from the gang, being drunk, being disruptive. And whether there is going to be some sort of communication to station levels for that period of time, if this is the case, to make sure that you handle the person in the same way. That's the one thing. I'm not necessarily saying it should be a national instruction. I don't know what it should be, but you know what communication are we doing in that regard? The issue on human trafficking. For me, Chairperson, the biggest concern about it, despite apart from the fact that we're still awaiting legislation, because I think legislation in the end would be the answer to it, but in the interim, and even after legislation, is that up to now, we have seen from the presentation as well, that most of these people end up in the sex industry. Up to now, those people in the sex industry were treated as perpetrators. The ordinary police officer, when they arrest the prostitute is the perpetrator. When they arrest the sex worker is the perpetrator of a crime. It now requires of us, and of the judicial system, and of social development, everybody, a change of mind, a mind change, a paradigm shift, that this person might actually not be a perpetrator, but a victim. And how are we going to bring that about? Because we all know that, that making a paradigm shift is extremely difficult. I mean, we see after 16 years of democracy that some people still can't make that shift. So how are we going to bring that around? And then secondly, I would urge that SAPS also, with the human trafficking, get involved in the training of immigration officers. I'm raising this point, Chair, because of when we did the study to Australia on this issue, it is clear, and I think it's logical as well, that many a times if they are properly trained as immigration officers, there are certain signs that they should pick up at that port of entry already, because all these people don't come in illegally into a country. Many of them come legally into a country, that they should pick up already that this person is here under false pretensions, and that you can actually stop the process there. So I would really urge that SAPS, through negotiations with Home Affairs, but get involved in the training of immigration officers on this specific issue about human trafficking.
Chairperson, can I just ask one short question? The question is, where do Metro Police fit in your travel plan? Are they part of your plan or not?
Thank you very much, members. National Commissioner, we visited provinces and we think that there are a few things that are still outstanding. But my question will be on this date, the 24th of this month. Is it suggesting that by that day everything will be in place, equipment, everything, your prof jokes, and so on and so forth? Does it mean that Limpopo, for instance, their prof joke was still not completed? What does it mean? Just a few things. In fact, I think this one is not a question, but I will request that you take note of it. It might not be that much of the issue of SAPS, but I think it affects the work of SAPS. In Mpumalanga, the international arrival scanner, at the time when we were there, it was not working. And I will request that you really check, because it definitely will affect a police, even if it is the SARS responsibility. That's what they told us. I think those are my few questions. Can we then allow the department to respond?
Looks like it's longer than the original presentation from members. I'll pick up some questions, especially these two, and Shabalala has just gone out to PSS, and then they'll pick up more questions on human trafficking, the Hawks. I'll pick up first question, the invitation, the legacy one. I'm doing this so that the rest of the people can see which other question. And the PVA is not the paint. the cells, Madam Chair, FIFA rules, and then the LOC, the LOC. Question, I can't remember, but I have the answer. The invitation, Madam Chair, I'll request the communication just to leave our program with the committee when we're gone. I don't think we have any qualms. Let's apologize first that we did not. But apologize with a pinch of salt. You have not been very much available when we invite you as the portfolio committee. You have not. Starting with our Bloemfontein, we invited you to come to Bloemfontein to see our police together there. You did not. There were other... And it really, Madam Chair, on that principle, we would love to work with the committee on many things we do because it makes the understanding much better and lesser questions. I must take the opportunity of thanking you, especially with funerals of the South African police members. I don't know if I've seen somebody else, but I've seen you in several. And when we cry with the tough times, you begin to understand both the communities and ourselves as a management. So we thank you very much. But I think also it will help if the members can attend those funerals of the dead and killed South African police members. The MC there, the program director, for them to hear those things, because people, they say police are corrupt. But when a junior police stands up and call on their colleagues to stop being corrupt at the funeral, that happens. When it's not us to say, guys, stop being corrupt, but it's a junior, very junior police say, we have corrupt South African police. All of us as well. So I think in most cases you stand very much in my chat. On this one, we will. I think one bigger one will be the definite one because we'll be demonstrating the airport, as the airport, what happens in the airport when these things happen. That one is on testing. Testing is the 13th. Thanks God, it's not the 13th, it's Friday, so it's 13th. The legacy, indeed, we have met and we have said when 2010 is gone, we'll forever police 2010. That's what the committee has said. That when it's gone, we'll forever police 2010. The only snake with the snake veil operation, where is our equipment, is the headquarters of the South African National Defence Force. But we have found the space, the venue of complete transferring it as is and it stays as is, that net joint national, so that we continue with that way. Indeed, there are other things that will scale down, like the special forces, we cannot keep them on those areas. But the training will help us a lot, the gear, the equipment. I'm sure you've seen these water cans, the trucks that are there. We are adding on them, on those trucks, so that we improve ourselves on the crowd control. 8,500 trained. But more than that, we have bought 118 million equipment of crowd control. So which means the methods you see now will have to be phased out and put many new methods in the crowd control. The capacity of investigation didn't say that we'll put in 27 groups, teams of investigation. That spread, that kind of cooperation will forever stay there. I think we've got 39 helicopters now. 38 helicopters. As South African police. One thing that we are very passionate about, the upsurge of cash heist, bank robberies, come festive season. We want to cut and finish that thing. So machinery, you see, will have to be deployed as such. The question of when one was announced here as a commissioner to come and join this team, that July we had 7 mall raids on 7 days. 7 in 7 days. I don't know when last did you hear the raid of malls as you sit here.
it didn't go natural. We worked on those things. So we can further improve on those kind of things. There's some malls, for instance, in December, we took our helicopter and malls. Some malls, we took our helicopters and we put them there for a quick response and the monitoring of any route that goes out of that, so that it doesn't matter which direction, but we monitor you from the air. So those are the things that we'll do. But a big legacy that we'll keep is international relationships that we have made. That we refuse that it will go. We have created a very warm relationship with policing agencies internationally, especially Interpol. With the present secretary, we've been working very closely. But not especially European countries that have been very skeptical of the South African policy. I don't know. I understand you were briefed by the German parliament. Besides them of the training, they were knocked down by the South African policy. I don't know if they shared that with you. But we read it when they briefed their own people that South African, they find it very adequate on many aspects of policy. We've got a lot of relationships with the international policing agencies, especially on training and sharing of information, sharing of intelligence and all that. We're sending too many officers. That will continue to skill our police. And in even those very problematic areas, Madam Chair yesterday went to town about our forensic and laboratories and all that. We want to really work on those things. So that will stay. The third one, last one, the legacy we want to keep is our teamwork that we have created, both national and provinces. We meet weekly, every Monday, as this committee we meet. It might not be that one, but we must meet to have a helicopter view of the South African policy, not in compartments that it does operation, it does this, but what do we do as a South African police and all that. We want to keep that legacy. In short, we will keep this legacy and we want to keep it in a very high standard to deal with the South African crime generally at all levels. You will come with a fuel story. PVA, you see, the major problem about PVA is another one challenge that I did not raise. The contract signed by FIFA with Virgin Actives. They've signed the contract with Virgin Actives. The problem, they don't tell us, we'll need a lot of planning for crowd control. Because if Ronaldinho is training in this, this Virgin Active, you can imagine the chaos we'll have there. You can imagine. If Messi is training in this Virgin Active, we'll imagine if Drogba. So they don't come to us about these things. They just signed the agreement with Virgin Active, and we don't know where these players will be training. And I can assure you, Madam Chair, if Drogba trains in Virgin Active in Gateway, there'll be chaos in that gateway.
Mm-hmm.
Every day there'll be chaos in that gateway. And we're not part of planning for those things. Maybe that takes me to the question of FIFA, Honorable Member Kola Banaj. When we were in German briefed, Germans said to us, Nazi was better than FIFA. Yeah, that's what Germans said to us as they were preparing for 2006. They said, you know, Nazi was better than FIFA.
Sure.
I was still in the KZN with the premier in the middle of the time. I don't want to venture on this issue, but there are things. That's going to try his under kind. I don't know what is English of that expression. But if you're an African, it's a taboo to put your hands on your head. you only do it when there is death in the family. There is death in the family. So, but FIFA pushes you to carry your hands on your head every time you hear metal.
That's why we don't have an African
nuclear industry. I'm not sure. But let me quickly say, with Jerome, the Secretary General, I think we have been working pretty close. He has worked with the South African police well. We have worked with him very well. There are issues that we would have wished otherwise. But they are not happening there. Add on that, it must be remembered, as the question you asked, Madam Kola Barnard, of whose final word? I don't know whose final word it is. The South African government signed the guarantees. The minister signed the guarantees of safety. And the Commissioner of South African Police signed the availability of resources to implement those guarantees. So anything that touches on our guarantees will act, and decisively so. It might be FIFA, it might be anybody, but when we believe that it begins to threaten the guarantees of safety that the government has made, will act. If anybody makes noise and all that, will act. We have acted on Durban, not on the beach. They had another problem in Durban of the
retail center.
FIFA is taking over on the 15th.
24th.
Yes.
Stadium.
We sanitize. We come there. Everybody is here, Madam Chair, of policing. We say we are ready. Part of it, stadia are handed over to FIFA. One thing, the retailers that are there, because the stadiums will be sanitated, will be cleared. It takes 3 days to clear the stadium proper. 3 days. So we can, after that, have people walking in and out the stadium. So it's taken over. What we do in front, before the match, we can just do another check-up and all that, but maybe an hour or two. But 3 days would have been, and FIFA takes them over, and we police them over. Durban refused to let their retailers out of the stadium. So we had to go there, we put the foot down, and it has happened. Because what we would have done is to write the letter to say, we can't have 2010 in this stadium. If there is that motto of the
Skycar.
So they wanted to use that, which means anybody can put the bomb at the height of the stadium if it happens every day. So we have gone on that one and we have said no. There is a big one other coming. Hope the committee will support us. Security companies, we were instructed to check them as South African police if they can work on this.
Yeah.
We are given three. We checked two, we are fine. We are not fine with the last one. But LOC insists to put them. We have written the letter to our minister, who happens to be the member of the board, to say we are taking over that stadium as South African police. Because we believe is not a very clean security company. From our side, from what we have done. And we are not going to work with the company in that particular stadium. So we are taking it over, which will make police to have some additions. But because there are resources to work on the stadium for security, we want those resources shifted to the South African police. It was meant for the private security. That private security cannot do it. We want those resources shifted and avail the South African police to work on it. Because, as Honorable Member Kola Barnard, if anything happens, nobody answers the South African police. So we will look at that, Madam Chair. PVA is a major problem. We would love to get the finite places. Our planning must be given an opportunity to say these are PVAs so that we work around those PVAs. Now they keep growing, they keep growing, so we don't know what number are we planning around. So if somebody can say you have 100, we'll look at it, can we handle 100? We'll say no, we can handle 70, and it must be that 70, and we work on the 70. They keep growing like mushrooms. Everybody wants it. And they are dangerous. Because people come with their liquor, come with their alcohol, with their things, and they are not, are areas that are not restricted by FIFA, like FanFest, where you only drink either Heineken or what is it?
Bloodweiser.
Is it Bloodweiser?
Not Bloodweiser.
That thing. So, whatever they drink. So here, you drink, you come with everything. Come with everything that you drink, and shimmy, kukavin, everything. And they need more understanding and more preparation, even with the officials. So if you don't give us figures, it doesn't help. But on that one, Madam Chair, there were sentences that were out of question that the cities have been pushing. One of them, they wanted the fences at Union Building, Sutambakaya. We can't have the Union Building as a fence first. It's a national keypoint to start with. So now everybody must come and try. So we had a bit of the war with the municipality. I understand finally they have succumbed and all those kind of thing. But we really wish somebody will give us the final number of PVAs so that we work. I've answered the FIFA rules. Madam Kola Banat, we're not going to be treating thugs with kid gloves. That must be very clear. Thugs are thugs. And so must be treated. Thugs, whether you find them in Cape Town, Johannesburg, whether you find them in London, whether you find them in Zurich, thugs are thugs. That's how are we going to treat. We're not going to break the law. We'll treat them as people that have broken law. But we have done some arrangements of identified cells in identified police stations where they'll be put. The question was raised, what happened if it happens outside those jurisdictions? I think, depending on the situation, we can still use the nearest cell with an understanding of what we do on those specialized cells, or we take them to yeah. And these offenses will differ. There will be serious offenses. There might be a murder of a spectator from overseas killed somebody here. So that's how we'll treat. But we are very glad that we have worked with the justice. We have agreed that within 31 days of FIFA World Cup, all cases will be tried, FIFA related will be tried within 31 days. So that people are not delayed, are not fetched from back, from their homes here and all that. So if we give you life sentence, by the time World Cup is finished, we'll be doing a life sentence. You finish and glass. From Germany, we'll be doing. By the way, this journalist that had threatened us here in ICC is still here in South Africa attending the case. He hasn't gone home. He came here, he threw the bag to us, said there was a bomb all the way from Germany to come and threaten us here. Yeah. So we arrested him. He writes a good story now that if you threaten, he's a good ambassador person. we haven't let him go home until he finishes. That's not what we want to happen. Once you finish with them, allow them to go home. I think we'll be very tough, but very human. As I said yesterday, we'll act, we'll be kind like doves, but wise like serpents. So that's the way we are going to. The last one would be airport. The airport, there's been an awkward situation here, Madam Chair. South African police has been supporting the security at the airport. We have been supporting. The South African cabinet has taken decision that police will be primarily responsible for airports. Indeed, the major international we have taken, that's what General Shabalala will be working on, that structure that will be coordinating. If you move around, you can see the TROT guys now that move at the airport and all that. We are playing a primary role now at the airport. No more the support role. Working with the ASA, especially CEO of ASA is highly cooperative. She's highly cooperative with us on working on these matters. Yes, we will be working on machines and all that kind of stuff. We will be ready, Madam Chair. In a few days, I think we've got two or three items that will be joining us. I might not per se here mention some of those things because you put these things, you get countered. But it has been a part of the, especially working on the airport, as you say, but also working at the high risk stadia. We Mpundisi asked if we'll see what people they carry. Mpundisi, we are buying the equipment that tells us up to the point if this is genuine or fake. That machine this man is purchasing, it will tell. We can just move on. These people that they carry LV and the Jimmy Choo's and all those things, we can move around you and tell you that this is a Jimmy Choo, this is not it. This is not this, this is not that. So, that's, but it goes beyond too many things in the South African airport and the entry point and all that. You will answer the portal. Thanks, Madam Chair, for clarifying that. But you are invited.
And can I ask just one follow-up question on what you said, National Commissioner, before I allow other generals to respond. On the issue of PVAs, in relation to municipalities, do you have in your mind a due date, you know, as to when you would want to have all that information at least?
It's yesterday.
Yeah.
Okay. So if then we can allow it to be decided as today, as yesterday. So we would have loved to have reached that understanding by now, Madam Chair, because you need to go, PSS people, intelligence people, they need to go and assess physically the structure, the topography and all, what do we need, how many numbers, even some kind of assessment, are they high profile people, what kind of people that should be using that. Those are the things that we need to do even for the proper planning. If somebody can say to us today, it's done, we'll be very. By the way, Madam Chair, to resolve that thing, we invited, Madam Chair, all municipalities, hosting municipalities. We invited them in Pretoria, Madam Chair. We invited the premiers. Our minister wrote the letter to the premiers and the hosting mayors. They didn't turn up. And these are the things that we're putting, including the concern. They didn't when they came there. And I can assure you, it's a popular say that you have a PVA in all provinces. when a certain councillor is addressing the meeting, said, we'll have three here, we'll have... that's what happens every day. As one MEC, I think it was KZN, they were saying, I want to make sure that every corner here is a PVA. So it's a question of if somebody can help us. Hence the letter again to the minister to say to the to the minister of the copter to say help us with the bottom line on this one. But if it is today, Madam Chair, will really help us.
But indeed, that is what we are thinking, that maybe as the portfolio committee we should write a letter to our minister, instructing him to, or requesting him to ask the minister of local government and actually give him a due date, so that we say beyond that, if anybody has not submitted whatever, then it's done, it won't be considered, and that it would not be allowed. That is why I'm asking that question, because I think we can also do that from our side as the portfolio committee.
More?
I mean, responses?
Madam Chair, quickly, I think also in terms of the PVA, the DTI, has been tasked to move through the country.
Could you pull the mic?
And to indicate whether they are happy with those PVAs. If you look at the numbers, we currently stand already more than 70 that we know of. Now you have, for example, Coke. Coke travel with a big truck and put up mobile PVAs. So Coke can multiply it. Every day you have 10, 20 more PVAs. McDonald's, the PVA will be at McDonald's. McDonald's, they indicated, not going to be at the stadium. Each McDonald's outlet will be a McDonald's PVA. So maybe, Madam Chair, I think we will appreciate, General, if that letter can be written, COCTA as well as DTI, that we can just get an idea how many. On the maritime, I think the maritime plan is in place. As indicated, the 12 nautical miles, which is also the coastline. It concerns the monitoring of slipways, etc. Then, as far as the deployment is concerned, it's not separate. It's not Navy, police, sea fisheries also playing a supportive role in that regard. It's using the platforms that we have and put members from the police, customs, home affairs, etc. on one platform, as we've done with a Navy frigate. And I think that's possibly the success one. Plus the air patrols, which will take place. Another issue was the recruitment of reservists. In all the coastal cities, you have people with boats, etc. So reservists were recruited, which form part and parcel of the maritime plan. I think you've possibly seen in the media that the Navy also bought certain state-of-the-art equipment for sweeping seabeds, etc., that we can determine if there's a cruise ship, whether there's any bombs, etc. So I think with the equipment and the cooperation between police, sea fishery, Navy, and all the other departments, I think the maritime one is in place. On the reason why do we close the road early, it concerns the sweeping of the stadium. Once you begin sweeping the stadium, your traffic warning zone and your traffic free zone must start kicking in, because then we also start with the process of taking all vehicles to the remote search park, where they must do deliveries inside the stadium. The reason why we do it early is because it takes a long time to finally then again sweep a stadium, get vehicles in, etc. Especially bigger stadiums such as Greenpoint, Durban, Soccer City, it's very big, so it takes a long time. On the private airfields, I think General Amur is more than 1,000 available. It strips private airfields, etc. If you take a province like Limpopo, you have crop sprayers, for example. There's an airstrip, a little aircraft can take off, land on the other side. So it's monitoring them on the ground, which is part of the air security strategy. It's monitoring the air. Therefore, the SA Air Force is also deploying mobile radars, etc., plus other equipment is being utilized to monitor when an aircraft is taking off. However, the cooperation with the neighbors really play a major role in this regard, because on the other side you have an airstrip where aircraft can land or take off. The joint jobs between us and the neighbors really also have a responsibility to monitor cross-border movement taking place. Then on the safe havens, Madam Chair, a question was asked, no, it is existing buildings, our existing buildings, or a defense force building, or it may be two or three armored vehicles that we utilize. So it's not new buildings that we've acquired. It's places that we've identified as part of the plan to move the teams, where we will post members, and if necessary, we will go there and make sure that the team is 100% secure. The Metro Police is part and parcel of the plan. They perform various functions. For example, if you take the remote search park, after you've searched a vehicle, an outrider must take the vehicle into the stadium. Metro Police, our members play a role there. Then in terms of the traffic warning and the traffic freeze zone, Metro Police, absolutely important to direct traffic away, make sure that nobody can enter. Escorts to the team, escorts to VIPs, and then the normal visible police functions, they deploy WhatsApp's members in sectors, in and around the stadium. So they 100% part of the plan. They sit in the NATJOC, they sit in the various prop jocks, so they've totally been integrated into the plan. Can I just say on the Durban one, I think more than one honorable member raised the Durban issue. We've made certain proposals on retractable fencing, more members, because one thing that one must take into account, both the PVA and the fan park, in terms of the host city agreement, is the responsibility of the host city. Where if we say you must put the retractable fencing, recruit so many additional personnel to secure the area, it's a contractual obligation that they do have in terms of that contract that has been signed by the host city. So we did make various proposals on what should additionally be done. The same applicable to the fan miles, as I've indicated to you, because you can't fence off a fan mile. But what additional security measures should be put in place? We've made the recommendations. Focus, port of entry, the general, you did deal with the port of entry. The borderline, yes. If you take the borderline issue, as I've indicated to you there, the first part was to do satellite imaging of certain areas that we know is problematic. And I think if one look at quality of equipment, I think South Africa can be proud about the quality of equipment that we've purchased and which have been developed also in South Africa. That satellite imaging is absolutely excellent. It's being run there from the crime intelligence offices. Imaging has been done. We share that information with our neighbors. We use it to do that planning, as I've indicated to you. And jointly, we deal with the borders now, us and the Defense Force, as well as our neighbors, police, and the military. So I think if you take land border line plans, what we could have done in terms of planning, it has been done. Then you saw there the issue of butterfly operations. Because we do have problems with the fence, etc., now you have to monitor in the absence, for example, of the fence, and if a crossing takes place, that you can pick up a specific signal where it is taking place. The butterfly operation means you have to do it by means of operation points, and the butterfly's name is an orange helicopter, where you put the orange, because you can't reach certain areas with a vehicle within an hour or 2 hours. Madam Chair, on... you've been there on that borderline, us in Mozambique, etc. It takes you half an hour to reach a point. Then you have the orange with members in immediately lift, put the members down that you can deal with that situation as it occurs. So there's many additional things that will be put in place for the World Cup, but as the General indicated, in terms of legacy, we would like to keep it in place and deal with the borderline in the same manner as we're going to deal with the borderline now during the World Cup. If the team stay at the hotel and there's a problem, unfortunately, many of those contracts, a team will come, they select, there's a list of hotels that MAT will provide them, then they select the hotel. After they inform us, we then come in with the risk assessment. Then we indicate to cut the branch of this 3 year. The one hotel, I wouldn't mention the name, otherwise it's going to be story about the hotel again. The gate is too small. The bus can't get into the gate. So we said, now, where's the team going to get onto the bus? Outside in the street, those type of things that we've indicated in the risk assessment, additional cameras and everything, but where it was absolutely necessary to say no, we did say it. And I think you've mentioned the one example also of Nigeria moving from Bali to Richards Bay, and we're happy with the Richards Bay movement which did take place. The sales at the stadiums, yes, the cameras, we do not have the responsibility to put cameras in there. It's not our job. However, what we did propose to our members is that people should be taken from the stadium as soon as possible, that you do not keep people in cells at the stadium for long periods. Therefore, you have the dedicated station, as the general indicated, with dedicated cells, and this is where the members will be taken. There was a question, if a person is arrested in another area, we've agreed with the prosecuting authority, the types of crimes which will be heard by the special court. So the the instruction to the stations, if you arrest any person, foreigner, etc., in terms of these criteria, immediately the JOG will be notified, the prop JOG notified, and the person will be transported to the dedicated police station with the dedicated cell. So it forms part of the standing operational procedure that is developed with the prosecuting authority. Madam Chair, 24 years, on the 15th, the prop jocks will be running. Three of the prop jocks, we did have certain problems still, that's Mpumalanga, Limpopo, and the Eastern Cape. We've identified some of the issues. General Shabalala, he forwarded a letter to the National Commissioner, which signed because it's little technical issues. So the 15th, the prop jocks will be running, Madam Chair. The fuel at the airport, I think just it suffice to say that it's part and parcel of the planning for the airport. The airport has been planned for every little thing, the perimeter fence, what we do there, even outside the airport, because aircraft is coming down very slowly in a certain area, going up very slowly in a certain area. The perimeter, the apron part, then we move into the landside part where various issues are being dealt with. So this form part and parcel of that plan, and I don't think there will be a problem in terms of securing and protecting fuel at the airport, including, Madam Chair, the same type of plans for protecting fuel at the stadia. Big generators running at that stadium, all the stadia, as you will know. During a match, the generator will provide the electricity. Eskom is standby when you do have matches at the stadium. So you have also quantities of fuel there which will be protected in the same manner.
Yeah, Chair, there was. If I may ask for an answer to my question on the rights of journalists, whether the FIFA regulations supersede the law of the land in the rights of press freedom. Thank you.
Well, I don't think that we will be fighting the battles for journalists in the access where FIFA says no. I don't know if FIFA does sign agreements with the media houses. But FIFA goes a very long way, Madam Kolabanat. For instance, you will not have APSA Stadium during FIFA World Cup. There is a beautiful stadium known as Alansia in Zurich. There was no Alansia Stadium during FIFA World Cup. So even big business is told that you can't do this, you can't do this. Even our own people are told that you can sell here, you can't. They are told what to sell and not what to sell. I believe that FIFA will tell journalists what to do. It seems to be FIFA is telling everybody what to do and not what to do. I don't know what's an issue from the journalists. But you remember, just now, there are adverts that have been banned. the media retreated on that one. The company and TVs, those things are banned. And FIFA, when it says, yes, ban it, and the people, they go. I think FIFA is a powerful body, a very powerful body. I don't see what laws, when the laws that will be literally broken in terms of in terms of laws. But if FIFA steps somebody or kills, they will arrest FIFA on that one. If they kill somebody or what, that's one. But the laws of what there was one interesting, interesting issue that happened in Zurich, Nungululega. You were not in Zurich. Where Blatter refused to speak to media. Literally refused. They made him angry for something and he left them hanging. High and dry, and he left. And he was lucky that media doesn't bash him now and again, they would do with that. But I don't have a direct answer, but I know that FIFA will. But there's a legal man here from this delegation who can maybe tell us what are the actual legalities.
The moment we talk legal men, then I shift. But at least we have ours.
Thank you, General, and thank you, Madam Chair. Like General Elias said, you know, the legal regime regulating the World Cup starts with those government guarantees that we made. They have force of law in this country in terms of an act of parliament that was enacted to deal with the World Cup, the Special Measures Act. But fortunately, from a criminal point of view, which is what we the police enforce, a lot of the regulations seem to dovetail with what would be criminal in any event in this country. So I'm not so sure what journalists could have done, you know, in the context of the question that is being asked. But if it's criminal, it will probably be criminal whether we had a World Cup or not, if it's criminal.
Chairperson, I think the question has basically been asked, because my thing as well was I don't quite understand the question, because obviously the SAT is not going to arrest anybody if they're not breaking a law. And that goes for the media as well. I mean, if the media and FIFA disagrees about whether a press conference should take place or not, that's really not SAP's problem. That's the issue between the media and FIFA. But, I mean, the question, the way it was put, is will SAP arrest somebody on that basis? No. I mean, I can't foresee that SAP would arrest anybody if they're not breaking a law of this country.
Thank you very much. I think what is fundamental here is that this is FIFA Soccer World Cup. South Africa is hosting something that belongs to FIFA, and that is very important. I think there are no longer questions, and I think on human trafficking, yes.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I have just to respond to some of the human trafficking questions. Perhaps through our presentation, there might have developed some misunderstanding around the issue of the desk. The desk is merely an individual and a body there just to begin to coordinate and look at the threat broadly on behalf of SAPS. It does liaison with the embassies, it does interaction and coordination with the other government departments that deal with the threat. It looks in terms of coordinating of the investigations which might be across the country. It's not the place where you necessarily would be reporting a matter. For that, our plan indicates that you do report any incident to the station as per normal, and at that station we focus in terms of training and through instructions letting our personnel know how to deal, to begin to identify those cases and to deal with it. The process in terms of investigation, it will be reported and rolled up to the organized crime units, of which we have a fair spread of organized crime units across the country. And it's there that the actual human trafficking cases is investigated with the organized crime units. We have had to also give a provincial, appointed provincial coordinator, and their numbers are available, and we could look at ways of beginning to publicize those numbers. Their responsibility would also be to be interacting with the NGOs and the government departments at that provincial level. I would agree that we could do a bit better in terms of communicating what it is that the police has been doing, but it has been getting, I see, very pleased to see some media attention running up to the 2010 World Cup. Yes, it is so that we do need to do a lot of work in terms of making the paradigm shift between viewing prostitutes as the potential as a victim and not just looking at the individual and treating the person as a perpetrator. There is a lot of work that needs to be to still be done in that regard, both within the police, but I think also with our communities at large. And I think here is where we most probably would be calling a lot on our partners in the NGOs to be doing a lot of work for us around this field. I don't think there was any other specific question relating to human trafficking, Madam Chair. Yes, look, as in the presentations we have specifically gone to the border ports of entry where we began to train, and at these ports of entry where the immigration officers, and they would have been included in those training interventions, but the point is taken that we need to, it would assist if we could train and equip at that very front line to begin to identify people that are potentially being trafficked.
So my question hasn't been answered about the media issue of the Lubombo border corruption, where people, where journalists exposed how easy it was just to bribe people at the border to bring traffic victims into South Africa. It was quite publicized in the media. I want to know what's been done about it.
Just in terms of that, we have taken note and we are busy with the investigations to begin to address the issue of corruption at the border specifically. And also those that have been identified, the disciplinary measures have already been taken.
Yes,
I'm informed. General Shabalala has been taken. Yeah.
Can I follow up again? Sorry, what have the outcomes of the disciplinary been?
We start by initiating the processes. The Lieutenant General Mawela's command post of entry gives the instructions come, and the process is an investigating officer is appointed as a disciplinary side, while Commissioner Trauma proceeds to the criminal side of it.
But I want to know, is the disciplinary finished or is it still going?
No, it's not finished.
You just started it,
yes.
Okay.
On this corruption thing, we really like the wing to be spread across the government. We'll do everything. Members, if they do get this information, will they please send information to us, because we are prepared, really prepared to deal with this corruption within the South African police. I'm sure you did see that after we came from the scene where the police were killed in Mpumalanga. We came to Pretoria, we arrested the sergeant and the senior administrative clerk from Mamelodi. The killing of the police that happened in Mpumalanga looks like we're arresting our own members, some of them, including the murder of the South African police that happened in Mpumalanga. We'll be arresting our own members about their death. So it's a question, Madam Chair, that we would like to share with everybody to raise these matters, because we are serious. We want to work very hard on this and across the board in terms of corruption. By the way, across the private business in South Africa, which is a huge corruption. Unfortunately, they are lucky now and again, they are scared. Everybody complains about the police that have been bribed. There is a bribe and a bribe B. But bribe B, all of the time they escape. The bribe and is a bribe that escapes. So all those kinds, we work on this. I've argued, Madam Chair, that all aspects, they have their elements that include sometimes within the media. where people, there have been issues about media, people that have been, where the accuracy has not been proved, some have been, but across the line, and let's just say South African police and the rest of everybody, let's fight this one.
Commissioner Nelson himself opened something. We would be interested to know, because you're absolutely right, and that's something that the government has been saying all along. There's a briber and a bribee, and I agree with you that too much emphasis is being placed, all selective emphasis, on the person that has been bribed. But who is the person that bribed? Why are we not acting against those that bribe? Is it a lack of provision in the legislation that deals with it?
Yes.
Because at some point we need to look at that. Why are we not acting against those that bribe?
And I, on that note, I want us to move towards closing the meeting. National Commissioner, I don't know whether you want to make closing remarks before I close the meeting.
No, I've spoken too much.
Ours
is to see the safe 2010 of both our South African citizens and our visitors. And the South African police and with all agencies and our sister departments, we shall do our best to make sure that there is a best result after the FIFA World Cup.
Thank you, National Commissioner. I just want to comment here. First, National Commissioner, you have asked us to support you on the issue of the private security company, which you have found not to be clear. Unless any other party differs with what I'm about to say, we support that. If you have followed procedures properly and you have found that a particular company is not clean, we support you if that company is to be excluded. There is no way we will allow a situation where in companies that do not meet all the requirements are allowed to provide security during the 2010 FIFA World Cup. And I think I'm saying this on behalf of the committee, unless, of course, a party thinks differently, they are really free to differ with me. And National Commissioner, we have also taken note of the fact that you are on a continuous basis verifying any threat and from any source. For us, that is important. And I can tell you today that I think you are learning during this process. And when the FIFA World Cup is gone, you will be expert on some of these issues. Also, National Commissioner, we have taken note of the fact that from the 24th of this month, you will be fully consumed by activities of FIFA World Cup. As the Portfolio Committee, we will indeed be checking our program. We'll definitely not want to disrupt your focus whilst the work of Parliament, of course, will also have to continue. So we'll indeed check our program, review it, and see if we cannot probably make some changes so that you are able to focus fully on your work. We will be doing that. After visiting, okay, maybe even before I say that, National Commissioner, any assistance that you might need from the Portfolio Committee, even if it is about agitating somebody in order for that somebody to do something, we are just a phone call away from yourselves or an email away from you. We are more than willing to assist the Department of Police in that regard. And as such, we will indeed be writing a letter to our minister, requesting him to write a letter, of course, to the Minister of Trade and Industry, you said, as well as local government. I want to suggest that maybe we give them a due date of the 17th, it will be Monday, this Monday, that if any municipality has not submitted or any whoever has not submitted, will take it that what you have is final and there cannot be anything more added after that date, so that you are able to
to plan properly on security issues. After visiting provinces, National Commissioner, we checked airports, stadia, fanfare, police stations that are closer to stadia or closer to airports. And after witnessing the launch on the 29th, as I said, I think as the portfolio committee, we are satisfied that the department is ready for FIFA World Cup. The today's briefing was adding to what we already believe is true. We want to say to you, when we visited those provinces, we could see, we could feel passion. It was really overwhelming. Commitment was immense. Unity is palpable. Patriotism is tangible. Let me, on behalf of the Portfolio Committee on Police, as well as our parliamentary support staff, wish you as the department all the luck which I think you need as you carry on your shoulders the pride and the future of South Africa. You represent all of us. Anything wrong that goes on during the FIFA World Cup related to safety, all of us will be affected. We have high confidence in you. You have never disappointed us as a country before, and I know you will not do it now. I think you always rise to the occasion. You have our unwavering support as this committee. We'll be there together with Bafana Bafana when they lift that trophy. Yes, they will. We will be celebrating all of us. Bafana Bafana is going to surprise all of us, I am telling you. And they are going to win. They will go in there as underdogs, but they're going to surprise all of us.
Oh my.
We did not think that in 1996 Bafana Bafana was going to win.
Yes, we did.
They did. They are going to win this time. With us as a country, you know, carrying them on our shoulders, they are sure to win. But even before they do that, because of the subs, they are going to win. We thank you for briefing us. It's a very important briefing. We therefore will be sitting here as the portfolio committee knowing exactly as to what the Department of Police will be doing. Like I've said again, you have our unwavering support, and indeed we are proud of the department when it comes to issues such as this. We know you'll not disappoint us. I therefore, at this point, want to thank everybody who's been part of this meeting. I can see the interest of media. They were here throughout. We are ready as the portfolio committee. We are really sure that we are ready to hold this, and in fact to host this FIFA World Cup in a very safe environment. And indeed we are going to do that, nothing less, nothing more. I thank you all for being part of this meeting, and this meeting is adjourned. Thank you. Yes.